Welcome to Podmon Horizons, the podcast where we're just trying to prevent a fashion statement. I'm Zach, and today we're going to do something very special. Nolan is still out of pocket, and I didn't really want to do a fandom classic. And as far as I can tell, all of the Patreon exclusives have been released on the main feed. But it has come to my attention that Pokemon Horizons has been released in English. And so I watched it, and it's really, really good, y'all. Like, I really, really enjoy it. So we're just going to just jump right into that. We're going to talk about the first three episodes. Hopefully, Podmon Adventure 02 will be back next week for you guys. If not, then I'm probably do the next three episodes then. But honestly, if we do get back to the main show, then I will probably put these in the feed somewhere, because I really, really like this show, and I really want to talk about it. So, yeah, no point in delaying any further. Let's just jump right into the first episode. So we start with, classic narration, you know, the standard thing, but it feels has a little bit more grandeur this time, you know, like it feels a little bit more, like there's just a bit of scope to it, and it's hard to describe, but which will make sense as we go along throughout the show. But so we meet our blue-haired protagonist, Liko, and she is on Route 22, headed to a bus stop, and sees a couple of girls, and this will come up a few times in this episode in particular, but I like the subversion that this series, or this episode in particular, plays with things. Like, you think that, oh, okay, like, these girls are going to be her rivals or companions or whatever, and no, they're just there to establish that Liko is kind of shy, kind of timid, kind of in her own head a little bit, and just to give us a glimpse at her character. And I must say, if I had a nickel for every time a new Pokemon anime in the last year has centered around a heavily neurodivergent coded young female protagonist, I'd have two nickels and be the richest man in the world, because I love it so, so much. I love Horizons, and I love Concierge. Pokemon is probably, anime-wise, or series-wise, is, like, the strongest it's ever been for me. But anyway, Liko makes her way to school, and she goes to her dorm and opens the door, and there's a girl inside, so Liko freaks out and backs out. It's like, oh, I must be in the wrong room. And the girl, who we find out is named Anne, lets her in and is just the greatest. Like, I love her so much. It's a trope, but it's a trope for a reason. You know, you've got the shy, shut off, really timid girl or character in general, paired with the more like outgoing, extroverted, high energy character to kind of bring them out of their shell. And that's Anne, and she's fantastic. And so we see them bond a little bit, and then it is time for the kids to get their Pokemon. And I really like how the show does this. If there was ever a Pokemon, like, MMO, I think this would be a really cool way to do it. So you don't have, like, 10,000 billion people with, you know, Charmanders and stuff. Like, assign people their starter Pokemon. Like, have people do, like, a personality test or something, so it's not just completely random. But give people a starter Pokemon that they can't trade or get rid of, and have to bond with that Pokemon. It would introduce a lot more diversity in a thing like that. I don't know. I just think that'd be really cool. And I love how it's done here. Anne gets her Oshawott. And Liko gets Sprigatito, who is just the cutest. I love Weed Kitty. She's great. She's fantastic. And once again, a nice bit of subversion here. Because, you know, if you remember the original series, Pikachu is standoffish and all that to Ash at the beginning. But with Pikachu, it's just that he kind of starts as an arrogant prick and, you know, and just has to warm up to Ash and all of that. With Sprigatito, it's entirely, 100%, because she's a cat. And it's just fantastic that she's not, like, mean or anything. She's just aloof and doesn't really care at first. And Liko has to earn her trust and respect and all of that. And owning cats myself and having had cats pretty much my entire adult life, it tracks so much. Like, it's completely on brand. So, yeah, Liko is immediately enamored with Sprigatito, because how could you not be? Sprigatito scratches her, runs off, and pretty much most of the rest of this first episode is Liko trying to bond with and understand Sprigatito. So Anne and Liko have a brief battle. Liko loses because she and Sprigatito just aren't connecting right. And so they do some training, and Liko starts observing Sprigatito and studying her behavior, quickly finding out that Sprigatito likes to nap in the sun because, you know, cat. And then there are some mysterious adults at the school searching for something or someone. It's not entirely clear what they're doing here. And it seems like Liko and Sprigatito are starting to connect, which it happens quickly, but it doesn't feel rushed. Like, it's believable. Like, Liko has done the work. And also, like I said, like, Sprigatito's not a dick. She's not like Pikachu. She's just a cat. Like, you've got to earn her respect. It's nothing personal. She's just a cat. But once she starts to connect, it's like, it's very natural and believable how quickly, like, they start to understand each other. So Anne, and I guess most of the rest of the kids, presumably, leaves on break, but Liko stays because she says her parents are busy, so she's just going to hold the fort down there. A mysterious kid with black and white hair arrives, looking for Liko. He tells her that he has a letter from her grandmother, and to make sure that she brings the pendant that her grandmother gave her. Which, you know, immediately sets off red flags. And Sprigatito's reaction is, fuck this guy. So they run, but they're found by a Rhydon and its trainer. Sprigatito wants to fight, but it's no match for the Rhydon. But she and Liko work together and blind Rhydon and escape. The mysterious kidnappers corner Liko and Sprigatito on the roof when a badass in a pilot's jacket shows up with his Charizard. Charizard fights Cerulege as Liko tries to escape. She's on the edge of the clock tower, about to take a metaphorical and quite literal leap of faith. Cerulege sends his attack towards her when a strange glow appears around her. And that is the first episode. As I said, like, there's a lot of, like, subversion in this episode that I really, really enjoyed. It keeps your attention, keeps you on the edge of your seat and all of that. And I think the biggest thing is, like, you think, okay, it's just going to be it's a high school anime. It's going to be about Liko and Anne and Oshawott and Sprigatito and Liko getting to know her classmates and doing just a school thing with Sprigatito. And then immediately in the first episode, it's like, oh, there's some other shit going on. What's all this? Like, what's, who are these people? Both groups, like, fucking Charizard guy and this other dude, you know, who are these people? What are they doing here? What is their interest in Liko? Who can we trust, if any of them? And it just sets us up on a really interesting, page, you know, like, it's a really good first episode. And so that's the first one. And let's talk about the second episode, because it's also good. And we're, you know, continuing getting to know these people. So on to episode two. Liko's pendant glows and surrounds her in a glowing orb. It's hard to describe if you haven't seen it, but... And there's a mysterious Pokemon inside with her. And then it disappears, and, you know, she's in midair and falling, but Charizard swoops in and saves them before they can fall. They escape. Liko is taking it all in, but she pretty quickly realizes that she has no idea who it is who saved her. But before she can get answers, they arrive at the brave Olivine. We meet the rest of the crew. Molly, or most of the rest of the crew. Molly, Murdoch, and our heroic pilot, Freed. Liko is just trying to get some answers here, but the assailants are on their way, so that's going to have to wait. Another crew member, Orla, is feeding the furnace. Molly identifies the attackers as the Explorers, which Murdoch is not excited about. So, you know, some history there that we might find out later. And we meet our captain, Pikachu. Fucking awesome. Freed and Cap lead them right into the storm, but the Explorers are still on their tail. They board the ship, and so Freed and Cap go to deal with that. In just the most, like, awesome, like, fourth wall break, Liko puts two and two together that she is the main character of this story, which is just chef's kiss. Because, you know, any other time, like, yeah, you're the main character, whatever. But since that's the last thing I think Liko wants to be at this point anyway, it's just, it's phenomenal. Amethio, who is our dye-colored hair teen villain, corners Liko. Liko offers to give up the pendant if they don't hurt Sprigatito. But they're not just after the pendant. They want Liko too, because the pendant won't work without Liko, or at least they've seen it work with Liko, so they want to find out what the fuck is going on there. So she gives herself up to protect everyone else. But Freed has something to say about that. So Cap fights Cerulege. Beautiful fight, by the way. It's just, like, it's a great fight. It's our first, I guess, real proper fight in the show. I guess that Charizard and Cerulege had one last week, but we actually get, like, a nice... This one's a little bit more drawn out, a little bit more dynamic. Liko steps in, saying that she doesn't want anyone to get hurt because of her. And she says that she's sure that Sprigatito feels the same way. Well, Sprigatito doesn't feel the same way and calls Liko on her bullshit. So they attack with a massive leafage. And it seems like they've gotten rid of the Explorers. But then the storm picks up and Amethio kidnaps Sprigatito, which is where we end the second episode. And God, what a vibe shift. You know, like I said, we start this series, the first episode, with just a classic school setting, you know, Liko's getting to know Sprigatito, as she's getting to know classmates, as she's getting to know herself. And you think that's going to be the vibe of the series. And then we end on a cliffhanger in the first episode, and then immediately we're just thrust into this adventure with all of these characters and this fucking, like, a treasure planet-esque ship. And it's just an immediate turn for a different vibe, but that makes sense and works, and it's really exciting and fun. Yeah, I mean, this episode is honestly, like, and way more fast-paced than the first episode. Like, I watched everything that's out in English, and then I've gone back and watched the first three episodes just to make sure I didn't miss anything, you know, actually, like, take notes and all of that. And I noticed on the second watch how quickly the second episode seems to go by. 'Cause so much is happening. Even though there's not, like, a lot of action, there's just so much of what's this? Who are these people? You know, you're in... They do a good job putting you in Liko's head. And a lot of that comes down to Liko's internal monologue, which I think is a great addition. Instead of having the character say how they're feeling all the time, you get into her head and how she thinks about things. So, yeah, great episode. And now, finally, let's go on to episode 3. Liko has a flashback to when her grandmother gave her the pendant and told her that only the first step is scary, which, you know, is actually really, really good advice. Like, that's actually, like, really, like, simple and but poignant. Well, I guess it was a dream, because Liko wakes up and immediately remembers what happened. Which is, like, super relatable, honestly, you know? Like, who among us hasn't woken up from a good dream to just immediately get snapped back to a fucked reality or some trauma that you were literally just trying to sleep through? Like, but Liko is determined to save her friend. Freed is off tracking Sprigatito, and the others tell Liko not to worry, that Freed's got this. Freed comes back. He didn't find her, but he did see the explorers dock in town, and lets it slip that Liko's mom hired them to watch Liko. Which, I didn't mention this last episode, but this is kind of a running gag with Freed, that he leaves important details out all the time. And it's a lot of fun, you know, like it. It's just, it's a nice little character thing with him. So they arrive in town. Freed and Murdoch go off in search of Sprigatito, while Molly and Liko run some errands, and Orla stays behind to do repairs on the ship. Molly sends Liko to pick up an order from the Pokemon Center, but for some reason doesn't want to go with her. At the Pokemon Center, a young girl arrives with an injured Vulpix. She talks to Liko for a minute, and, you know, it gets Liko worried about what could be going on with Sprigatito right now. Like, maybe she's hurt. But no, she's not. She's being coddled and pampered by Onia? I don't think they ever say her name in the show, or at least they haven't to this point. So I'm not sure if it's Onia or whatever. I'll say Onia. But yeah, she's just coddling Sprigatito. Vulpix is doing better, and so Nurse Joy gives Liko her order. And Rockruff picks up on Sprigatito's scent on Onia, who is out getting canned food for Sprigatito. So they chase her, and they've track her to a warehouse kind of vibe. Liko wants to save Sprigatito, but Freed knows that it's going to be dangerous in there. So they come up with a plan. Freed goes in and challenges Amethio. and says that, you know, it's your typical ultimatum. If Freed wins, then Amethio gives us Brigatito. If Amethio wins, then Liko gives up the pendant. So Freed tells Liko to get out of the way because it's going to be an intense battle, which is Liko's cue to go off with Rockruff to find Sprigatito. Cap isn't doing as well against Cerulege this time, but then he's not really trying to win. He's certainly not trying to win quickly. He's trying to give Liko time to find Sprigatito, which he does. She and Rockruff track Sprigatito to a locked room. In the middle of the fight, Freed asks if the explorers would let them go if they just handed over the pendant, but no, the pendant is useless on its own, which is exactly what Freed figured. Like, they're after Liko now too. Liko breaks Brigatito free and is cornered by Onya, who gets all doughy-eyed and, you know, anime girl when she sees Brigatito, but Brigatito doesn't care. And I love this subversion of the typical, like, of the Team Rocket Pikachu dynamic. Like, it's not that Brigatito is super powerful or that this super rare special specimen or whatever. She's just in love with the kitty. Because who could not be? How could you not be in love with this cat? Like, she's just the greatest. And so that's, you know, just another fun little, like, okay, here's how we did it in the original series. How can we flip that on its head and do something different with it? And it's just super cute. And just perfectly cat behavior. Like, it's just great. Like, yeah, thanks for the food, but nah, I don't know you. That you fed me, that doesn't make us friends. So Onya calls out Skarmory, and Sprigatito uses a fuck ton of leafage to cover them so they can escape. They find Freed, they get out of there, and back on the ship, Liko asks Brigatito how she feels about the others on the ship. Liko is feeling pretty good about them because, you know, they don't really seem to care about the pendant. They just care about Liko and Brigatito. Liko and Brigatito have a little bonding moment as partners, and Liko tells the others that she trusts them and she wants to stay with them on their adventure. Cap approves, and so Liko has joined the Rising Volt Tacklers. Liko talks to Anne on Skype about her adventures and everything, and that's pretty much the end of the episode. But then there's a bit of a button with this kid named Roy, who goes down to the beach after the storm has passed and finds the Rising Volt Tacklers flag has washed up on the shore. And that's the end of our first three episodes. And what a great little introductory arc. Like, Liko is a great protagonist. I love her. Sprigatito is my favorite of the Paldean starter Pokemon. It's between Weed Kitty and Comrade Duck, but I think after this, I'm going to go with Weed Kitty as being my favorite. We haven't got to see much of Comrade Duck. We did get to see Boy Coco a little bit. He's one of the Pokemon that is just kind of chilling on the ship with everybody. But so I won't judge too harshly yet on Sprigatito versus Quaxly. But still, like, they're a great pair together in a different way that Ash and Pikachu are, because Liko and Sprigatito have their own personalities and work well together, but they have their own individual personalities in a way that Ash and Pikachu never really did. Like, they were extensions of each other pretty much from the word go. Freed is great. Like, it's nice to have, like, adults in the series that actually have, like, things to do and personality and, like, are part of the story. And it's interesting because, like, I also really, really loved Concierge. And this is kind of like the exact opposite in ways. Like, very similar characters, but, like, this is a very much an adventure story with a plot. And it's not just, you know, go out and capture all of the Pokemon that you can. And I think that, like, having watched this and with a little bit of reflection, I think that's why the classic series never really resonated with me that much, is, like, there's really no plot to Concierge. It's entirely vibes. And this show certainly has vibes, but has a plot and an arc. And, like, you can see in the first three episodes, like, if you consider where we started when we met Liko to where we end up at the end of the third episode, there's a bit of a hero's journey there. Like, there's a character arc that she's already gone on, and there's surely going to be more of that going forward. And I think that my thing with the original series is it wanted to have an arc, but also wanted to be episodic. But because it was, like, it was a journey show, it never got to settle into any kind of vibe or aesthetic. And so I think the episodes that stand out from the original series are the episodes that either progress the plot in some way or that have a certain, like, aesthetic and vibe and charm to them. Like, I'm thinking of Ash versus Lieutenant Surge is a classic one. You know, Pikachu deciding not to evolve, or Bye Bye Butterfree. You know, Ash letting go of his first Pokemon. Like, though, or I think the episode with Bill in the lighthouse and the giant ass Dragonite. Or Island of the Giant Pokemon, where we get to, like, see the Pokemon's, like, conversations with each other, and there's not as much of the people in the episode. That's got just a great vibe to it. Those episodes, I think, and episodes like that, are the ones that stand out the strongest to me, because a lot of just, you know, Ash and his compatriots go from one town to the next and fight Team Rocket, and maybe they catch a Pokemon, maybe Ash gets a badge, or, you know, whatever. It's a bit monotonous and doesn't have anything to me that really hooks me in the show. And I'm immediately hooked into this show because with these first three episodes, it just feels like an adventure show. And that gets us back to what I said before about, like, the beginning narration feels like it's setting us up for more of an adventure. Like, it feels more grandiose. It feels more once upon a time. You know, like, it's just great. Like, I didn't think I'd ever find a Pokemon series that I really latched onto. And I think that this is, like, and me among them, why people want a Pokemon adventure show so bad. Because there is potential in this franchise to actually, like, have a plot and actually have characters and stakes. I didn't really get into it, but it's nice that the antagonists, the explorers, aren't just bumbling idiots. Like, each time they fought, other than the fight with Pikachu and Cerulege in the second episode, which still wasn't really conclusive, you know, they escape. Like, they can't just take on the bad guys head on and just send them blasting off again. Like, there's an actual, like, threat, and there are stakes, and there's mystery, and God, it's just good. So yeah, that's the first three episodes of Pokemon Horizons, and this is the first episode of Podmon Horizons, and I don't know what the plan is for next week. I haven't talked to Nolan about that. I'm super sorry that we haven't done a new episode in a few weeks. He's been super busy, and understandably, he's got a lot, you know, it's tax time, got a lot of music stuff that he's working on, so we just haven't had time to do it and to get ahead on things. But I didn't want to do, you know, the next few episodes without him because we're in the middle of a major, like, arc finale. And I just wanted to talk about this because I really enjoyed this, enjoyed these episodes, and I'm looking forward to more. So hopefully next Monday will be a Podmon Adventure 02 episode. And if not, then it will be the next episode, which will be 4, 5, and 6 of Podmon Horizons. But again, I think that I will, either way, I think in the next few weeks, I'll do more of these, at least up until the, till I'm caught up with the English dub of the show. So, yeah, I don't have anything else to say, but thank you for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye.